Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I really do expect your call today. Why? Because I'm a little bit under the weather, and so I need your help. You got to keep the conversation going. I'll do my very best, but I count on the Take Two family to really help me with the wonderful topics that oftentimes you introduce our Take Two family, and we put them on the show calendar, and this is one of them that we are addressing today. This is the question. What is your most treasured religious item? What is your most treasured religious item? Okay. I want you to think about it for a moment, and then I want you to call in and share with us why, so we can get a better understanding of why you feel that it's so precious to you. You know, what your thoughts about leaving it maybe to a family member. You know, when you leave this earth, you know, I've had, relatives that have statues of the Blessed Mother, and they've already put labels on the back of them of who's going to get this statue when that person dies. No joke. I mean, that's how precious these religious items are. And maybe you're not Catholic and you're listening to us. Well, we're a live call-in show, and we really expect your take on things, because what you have to say is very important, your lived experience, your understanding, your wisdom, your knowledge. And so I really want to hear from you. So I'm really talking to all over the world that we broadcast Take Two. What is your most treasured religious item? And I'll share mine, your most treasured religious item. Now, if you've ever been to my home, you'd know that right at the start of the entrance of our home, I mean, I already have spiritual artwork and all sorts of religious items throughout the home, in every single room of the home, also outside in the backyard. So I have many treasured religious items, but there is one that is very special to me. And I mentioned it this morning when I was on, I'm one of the hosts of Catholic Radio Network's Pledge Drive. And that's a little bit why I can hear the raspiness in my voice. I've been using my voice a lot, and it's still, the weather is a little strange here in Arizona. So of course I got a little bit under the weather before I leave for Yuma, Arizona, which I'm doing their fundraiser this weekend at Yuma Catholic Radio. So excited. They sold out. So I'm trying to rest my voice and get ready for this beautiful event this weekend, but also still do pledge drives. And I would never miss Take Two, because I love you guys. So come on, I want to hear about your most treasured religious item. And please call in. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I just came off of my pledge drive shift, and so that's why you hear a little bit more of a, you know, kind of an adrenaline rush to my voice. It's because it's hard to calm down after pledge drive, because you're trying to get folks to pledge. And that reminds me, if your local listener area comes to you, your local listening, you know, your station, in your local listening area, I should say, if your station comes to you and says it's pledge drive time, fundraiser time, share-a-thon, care-a-thon, please step up generously and give your very best gift. And don't forget EWTN, please. We are listener-supported Catholic radio with the affiliates, and I'll tell you what, we depend on our listeners. So you got to step up generously. And there's been some big pledges I've seen in the past couple weeks for the fall pledge drive season. So that's exciting. People are really going big. Like I always say, go big with God. Well, you guys are going big, and that's a great thing. So phone lines are lighting up. We got Matt on the phones. We got Pedro on social media. I would wave to you, but just pretend like I'm waving to you, because I am. I'm waving to you. You just can't see it. I'll be back on video tomorrow, God willing, so that'll be great. But get your chats going and tell us your most treasured religious item. We've got Michael on the controls. He's doing a fine job, and thank you, Michael McCall, for the great work you do as producer of Take Two. But I want you to answer this question. What is your most treasured religious item? Okay, think about it. You can share several, some, you know, and maybe you don't have one yet. You know, you want to get some tips of what everybody else likes, and some ideas. And you're like, you know, this is really good. I think I need to pick this up at my Catholic gift store, or at the parish gift store. Okay, so real simple to do. All you got to do is call in 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. 3986. And in just a few moments, we're going to hit the pause button. When I come back, Martin will be first, who's going to lead this discussion and answer the question on the most treasured religious item. So I'll go ahead and share now while I still got my voice with me. So my most treasured item, I mean, like I said, everything in my house, every room has beautiful religious items from that were given to me as gifts. And, you know, if I did have the video on, you'd see behind me in my home studio, many of these beautiful, you know, sacred pieces have been given to me by Take Two family members over 10 years. So I just want to thank all of you. You know who you are. You're beautiful, beautiful souls that thought of me at a certain time, and you sent me this beautiful religious item. And so they're all treasures for me. But I would say the one that is so, like, when if you were to ask me to think about it really quickly, it would be the car rosary that I have in my car that was blessed by John Paul II. If I just had to think of something really quickly. So that's what comes to mind. It's very interesting, but I love that rosary. I love John Paul II. Everybody knows I love the Luminous Mysteries. I'm so grateful to John Paul II for introducing him to us. And and he's one of our powerhouse saints that we pray to before each and every episode. So it's really an interesting thing, but I have many, I do have a crucifix too. Now that I think about it, I have a crucifix, and I have a very special image that was given to me that's connected to Padre Pio. And so everybody knows I love Padre Pio. So there you go. I'm kind of an open book. I mean, I don't really have anything to hide. I mean, I'm 60 years old. So what do I have to hide? I mean, time is short, and we've got to use this time wisely. And I really want to make the most of it for all of us who take part in Take Two, to grow in holiness, to grow in our understanding of the faith, to get closer to God, a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God as we leave each episode. So that's always been my goal. Jerry shares that goal with me. He's wonderful about that. And you know, we want to hear from you. I wish he was on the show today, because I know he has a treasured item. I believe it was from his late uncle, who was a priest. But anyway, okay, we'll get to that when he joins us again in the near future, in a couple days. So let's get to the phones when we come back from this short break. We have one open phone line. That's it. Tell us your most treasured religious item. 833-288-3986. Okay, one of our Take Two family members just dropped off, so we have an open phone line again. So there you go. If you feel prompted by the Spirit to answer this question, your most treasured religious item, please call in. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Michael, our producer, just shared his most treasured item was a wedding gift he received, a 3-foot crucifix that's blessed. Oh, how wonderful is that? That is in their home. 3 feet. That's a big crucifix. I love that. What a great gift. Okay, before we get to Martin in Indianapolis, Indiana, if I could speak today, Sirius XM 130 is the way Martin's listening. Martin, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Oh, that line just got picked up. Good job. Okay, I wanted to share Faith and the Emotions. Faith and the Emotions by Father Wojciech Giertych. Father Wojciech Giertych, theologian to the papal household, equips you to develop a healthy functioning of your emotions through a deeper encounter with God. Through the advice of St. Thomas Aquinas and other great spiritual masters, Father Giertych names and explains the reality of emotions to help form young adults to grow in virtue, develop mature identities, and be freed from painful anxieties and emotional entanglements. Faith in the Emotions, How to Open Your Heart to God's Transforming Grace, Peace, and Happiness by Father Wojciech Giertych. Available now at EWTNRC.com. I realize when you're not feeling well, you got to slow down so I can pronounce everything properly. Okay, Martin from Indianapolis, Indiana, Sirius XM 130. Hi, Martin. Will you lead the discussion and answer the question? Hi, go right ahead.
Thank you for my call. I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well today.
Oh, thank you so much, Martin. I appreciate it. But you go right ahead, because I see the notes here, and I'm going to love this story. You go ahead.
Okay. Okay, yes, my most treasured relic would be my Grandma Max rosary. She was my first spiritual teacher, leader, and she taught me so much about the Catholic faith and how much Jesus loves me just because I saw how much Jesus loved her. I have such great memories. I grew up in South Dakota where the winters were somewhat brutal, and she never drove, but she never missed Mass. She went to Mass every day. And I just love the memories of being a little boy with my snow boots on and trucking down the two blocks to church. And she just was the, I mean, I would say she was the most Catholic person I've ever met in a most loving Catholic way. I mean, she saw no wrong. She honored all the traditions, but she just was the perfect example of agape love. And I don't leave my house without it in my pocket. I'm in my car today, and it's in my pocket.
Wow. So oftentimes when people have a rosary from a relative that is so, you know, precious and near to them, and they want to keep it with them and keep it forever, they tend to put it away. So you're actually carrying the rosary with you.
Yes, I keep it next to my wallet. So, you know, of course, I don't leave the house without my wallet. It's in my pocket. And I have a lot of peace and reassurance with it in my pocket that all is well, that I'm loved and I'm protected, and God is all that there is.
Okay, that is beautiful. May I ask, have you taken a picture of it on your phone to also have a picture keepsake?
No, that's a great idea. I should do that.
Yeah, that's why. I'm full of great ideas, Martin.
Yeah, I actually need to repair it. You know, it's my grandmother passed away in 96, at the age of 96. And, you know, I can remember just she always wanted to go home. She looked forward to going home and being with Jesus. And so I've had it for a long time. I'm 63 years old, and it has broken many, many times. And I keep my little pliers, you know, close by, and it's been repaired, and it looks not pretty anymore, but it's beautiful to me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. We so appreciate it. And God
bless you.
Oh, yeah. And God bless you so much because you honoring your grandmother today, I think that is just amazing and beautiful. So you're awesome, Martin. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you, Debbie. And I'm praying for you, knowing God's divine healing and wholeness is happening for you right here and right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. I appreciate that. I'll take all the prayers, all the blessings I can get, definitely, because, you know, all of us, as we're living today, time is precious. Everything we do is precious. Every step we take, every move we make. And it's so important that we use this time wisely. And I think we're doing it coming together as the Take Two family. So thank you, Martin. Okay, we're going to go from Indianapolis, Indiana to San Antonio, Texas, where Michael is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Michael. I'm doing okay. It's all good. So how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. My most precious religious item came from my dad's cousin, who in 1972 got to work on the Shroud of Turin, and he was an expert in carbon dating and helped prove that the Shroud is over 2,000 years old. But while he got to work on the Shroud, he was able to take a picture of the Shroud. And with that picture, he had three holograms made.
Wow.
And he gave one to his mom, one to my grandmother, and one to his other aunt. And so he had a beautiful hologram-made necklace made out. He wrote a book. It's called The DNA of God.
Wait. What's it called? What's it called, Michael? It sounds like you're on Bluetooth. What's it called, the name of the book?
The DNA of God.
The DNA of God. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
By Leoncio Garza. And anyway, he had the three pictures made, the three holograms made necklaces. And like I said, he gave one to my grandmother, who pass it on to my mother. Mm-hmm. And my mother recently passed away last month.
Aww.
And she passed it on to me before she died.
Aww.
And so it's a beautiful, beautiful hologram. And if you put it up against a black background, you can see the face of Jesus on it. And it was blessed by the Pope, by John Paul II.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was very beautiful. It's very beautiful. I'm very treasured with it.
Oh,
I don't always wear it because I don't want to damage it or lose it. But definitely on a lot of occasions, I will have it on myself. Yeah.
Okay, that's an amazing story. And I'm so sorry about the loss of your mom. I brought the prayer book out. Can we put her first name in the prayer book?
Sure, Teresa.
Teresa.
Teresa,
okay.
Yeah.
With
and,
an eight, with
know,
an
my
eight,
mom, okay, my mom was a very religious person, and she died last month, but at the age of 92, lived a great life. And before she died, all her family was around her, and we said the rosary. And then within a few minutes after we did the rosary, she passed away.
Oh. Oh, Michael.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. What a sacred time. What an anointed time. Oh, wow. Oh, you're always going to remember that, obviously. I know it was just a month ago, but I think that experience will always stay with you, Michael.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But so it's very precious to me, and she lived a great life, and she was surrounded by her family, and I knew when she passed.
Mm.
I felt it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. Michael, well, our hearts are with you during this time. I mean, it's still so new, a month ago. I mean, it's so new. So please take care of yourself and really know that you have a huge family around you that is praying for you and your entire family, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you so much. Check in with us again, Michael, please. Okay. Thank you. Mary Lou in Montana, we're going to go to you next on St. Michael Radio. Hi, Mary Lou. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. You go right ahead.
I have, people have amazing stories, don't they?
You know, they do.
Oh, yeah.
They do. And we don't ask for the stories enough. And that's why we do this show. This is the reason why we do the show. Thank you for tapping into that, Mary Lou. We don't ask about people's stories enough because they're powerful. You go right ahead. Christian witness, the Christian story is very powerful in people's lives.
It really is. And, you know, my special item is the purificator cloth that the priest used at my granddaughter's baptism.
Oh.
And so, you know, he would use it to wipe his fingers, but, you know, once he used the oils and anointed her. And so after Mass, the priest had the godmother give me this purificator cloth. And it's so special to me that it was used during this, special that it's my granddaughter and, you know, the sacrament of baptism. And so it's very special because I don't know if people really have the opportunity to receive this, you know,
mm-hmm.
cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really heard of that before.
Yeah, that's...
Have you heard of that?
You know, I'm starting to recall I've heard this before, but honestly, I haven't heard it in years. So, Mary Lou, that's very special. I mean, so may I ask where the purificator cloth is, do you store it somewhere? Do you put it under glass? I mean, what did you do with it? Or just put it, or tuck it away and just keep it for safekeeping?
Well, I'm not sure how to preserve it, really, but right now it is in a Ziploc bag,
mm-hmm.
folded neatly, and I've labeled what it is because certainly I don't want through the years for it to be just, I don't know, ending up in a pile somewhere.
Right, right.
And it's near my workspace and near my where I pray every day, so it's in a drawer near me. I know where it is, exactly. And so from there. I'm not sure if I need to preserve it further or if that's just good, or I really don't want to touch it, but I really, really do want to rub it on me, you know, with those oils.
Right. You know, that would be a really good question for your parish priest, or if we have a priest listening right now, which we always do for Take Two, maybe you could call in and share what Mary Lou should do with this really blessed sacramental, right, of this purificator. I mean, that's very, very special. Plus, it's so near and dear to you because it's your granddaughter's baptism. That's how you obtained it. So, wow, Mary Lou, that's very unique. I hope we, I'm going to just, if we don't get a priest that calls in, I'm going to call a priest friend of mine after the show just to find out. I find that fascinating. I haven't heard it for years. I've heard other stories. I mean, you know, there's things like when a priest dies, you know, that's in the family, sometimes their vestments or things like that are can be given to various people. I had heard that had to go back to the church, but apparently some people get some of the items. So it's very interesting how things get distributed through the church, and when somebody passes. Now, this was the granddaughter's baptism, so this was a different event, a different occasion. But it's so interesting how the church has certain protocols for retaining sacred objects. So I'm going to just check it out, Mary Lou. I'll definitely, if I find anything new, I'll bring it up on Unscripted, okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And you check it out too and let us know and call back, because we're always educating each other, informing each other, catechizing each other. So this is a team effort. This is a group effort. So thank you, Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. God bless you. And thank you for calling in to Take Two and your kind words about the other stories that you have been hearing on this show. Pedro is retrieving the social media chats, and we've got, let's see, on YouTube, Georgia says, I have a big Immaculate Heart of Mary on my wall. She looks so beautiful in this picture. I talk to her every day. Oh, I love that. I love that, Georgia. Betsy on YouTube says, my most treasured religious item is the rosary I carried on my wedding day to Jimmy 21 years ago. It has a Eucharist centerpiece that's tarnished and one of the beads needs fixing. But you'll always remember that's from your wedding day. I love that, Betsy. Okay, we do have an open phone line if you want to tell us and share with us your most treasured religious item, okay, or items, okay, if there's more than one. Please share your story, the backstory, the details of it, and all you have to do is call this number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're going to get back to the phones, but I wanted to share with everyone that please remember to like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. We always post interesting things there. And actually, Mary Lou, if you go to Facebook page, Jerry and Debbie, if I find the answer to the question about the purificator, I'll put it on Facebook. That would probably be the easiest, and everybody can see the response there. So Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. And also if you could follow me on my own personal page, Debbie Giorgiani, because I want to make sure I keep everybody up to speed on what's going on with the different pledge drives that I'm doing for the fall pledge drive season. So, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, how's the radio station doing? Or how's this station doing? Or that station? So I can always post stuff on social media. Okay. When I come back from this very, very short break, I'm going to get to Kathy next in Fairmont, Minnesota. And then I'm going to get to the other callers. We do have the first set of calls ready to go on to be on air with us in just a bit. But there's always like a kind of a green room or an on deck circle or a back waiting room, so you can keep calling. So this way you get put into the next set of calls right away as somebody drops off. So keep calling, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Whoever suggested this topic, I don't have the name in front of me right now, but you did a great job, because this is a very popular topic. Our most treasured religious items. That's what we're talking about today on your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'll be right back. We want you to tell us your most treasured religious item. Okay, so that's what you're going to answer that question, what it is, and give us the details of it. And as promised, I'm going to go back to the phones. Kathy in Fairmont, Minnesota, listening on KYEJ. So, Kathy, tell us the precious item.
The precious item, what is a statue of Mary? It's clear glass. I think it's solid crystal. I was with my parents, my brother. We were in Toronto, Canada, in 1954. And that, my mother saw it and wanted, that's what she wanted for her souvenir from Quebec or Toronto. Then when we got home, mother and about eight neighbor ladies got together every Tuesday morning, and they would say the rosary for the conversion of Russia. And so the statue always at mom's house would have flowers and a candle. It was so significant, so beautiful. And that was the year that our new school opened in our town in St. John, at St. John Vianney. It's called St. John Vianney Catholic School. It's still going. And I was lucky enough, mother gave that to me when she had to move to assisted living because she knew I had treasured it. And so it's in my home now. And I think what a great idea to take a picture. I don't have a picture of it. So. But we just had Padre Pio here for the relics.
Oh, and nice.
I took my first communion rosary that my grandmother had given me, and it's the third relic now.
Third class, so yeah.
That's right up there, too.
Yeah.
Kind of a hard question.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So, Kathy, let me ask you a question. Yeah. How tall is the statue?
I'm guessing 12 inches, maybe.
Okay.
And she's has her head bowed, and then her arms are crossed at her chest. And,
oh, they're crossed. Okay.
Because
usually they're open. Yeah, usually they're open.
No. This one is different. Both of her arms, and you can just see a little bit of her mantle. It's so beautiful. I have looked. I've been to Washington, D.C., to the March for Life. I've been to the Basilica and in the gift shops. Everywhere I've been, I've never seen this particular statue. So, yeah, it's very special. But thank you for the question.
Yeah, so it's one of a kind. Yeah, I would definitely take a picture or a few pictures and so you make sure. Now, is it when you said it's glass, you know, crystal, so that it, then it could break, right?
Oh, very much.
Very much. Okay. Yeah, I would definitely take a picture. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
The other thing, I don't know if at that time if mother ever had it blessed, and it wouldn't hurt to have it blessed either.
That's true.
I've been thinking about doing that. So.
Yeah, definitely. I would, because if you're not sure if it was blessed, I would definitely have it blessed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. If you don't know if it was blessed. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, what a great and unique story. I love that story. But it was your mother that your mother just really fixated on the statue and had to have it, huh? From Canada.
She did. And then she never took it to the other home. She didn't. It never left the home. And I know when I brought it to my house, I had it wrapped in a quilt. And I was just so careful. I didn't want anything to happen to it. But I've always treasured that. It was so special. And the fact that that summer I was eight and it was 1954. And then the doors to our new school at St. John Vianney opened up. And I just, you know, had such a wonderful experience in my Catholic school. I only had fourth till eighth grade, but that made a huge difference in my life. Huge.
Wow.
So,
Kathy, thank you so much for sharing
from your
heart.
Question.
Yeah, and thank you just for letting us get to know you better about this and just to understand it. Because I think as we hear these stories, You know, it's just making us think about the people we have in our life, the religious items we have around us, our events of our life, our spiritual mm-hmm. journey. And all of that, I believe, when we reflect on it like we're doing right now, I truly believe this, Kathy, that it is so pleasing to God when we do that, because he doesn't want us to forget. He wants us to remember. He wants us to stay in that moment. He wants us to constantly be reminding ourselves. That's why we even have, you know, statues and relics and all sorts of things. They're right. They're reminders. They point us to God, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. And I'm so lucky in our parish. We have adoration. We don't have it 24/7, but mm-hmm. From like 6 in the morning till 10 at night, and you know, it just calls you to stop and make another visit or have your special hour that you've set aside every week. It's all of that.
Yeah. Oh, that
thank
is
you,
beautiful.
Debbie.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Check in with us again for sure. I wanted just to thank you again, Kathy. I wanted to just share something with Betsy on YouTube. We're getting comments coming in, Betsy. One of your Take Two family members, because we're all family, they're suggesting, Betsy, you said you carry the rosary from your wedding day 21 years ago. So this is coming in from one of the Take Two groups that are commenting on YouTube. They said, why don't you, for your 25th anniversary, since the Eucharist centerpiece is a bit tarnished and the beads need fixing, still fix the rosary from your wedding day, but on your 25th, maybe introduce another rosary that's very special. I think that's a great idea. I love the Take Two family. Very creative you guys are. Okay, Susan in Los Angeles, Sirius XM 130 is the way. Susan's listening. We're getting a lot of calls from Los Angeles lately. What's up with that? Hi, Susan.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing better. I love Los Angeles. I love the whole state of California. I think it's the most beautiful state. I live in Arizona. I think California is just gorgeous.
Only thing that isn't beautiful is the traffic.
I was just going to say, your traffic is a little bit difficult, although if you come to Arizona, it's getting there. We call ourselves the mini L.A. But go ahead, Susan.
My most treasured item is my rosary. My great-grandmother, she was actually Lutheran until she turned, I believe it was 56. Mm-hmm. At that time, she found the right person in her life that brought Catholicism to the family. She converted her four daughters, which we are all now all practicing. All of us that are still around are practicing Catholics. She had her rosary with her when she converted, and she has touched it to the relic of the True Cross and St. Francis. And I just had it at St. Jude's when St. Jude made it through Los Angeles not too long ago. And she would tell me stories, and we'd sit in church, and she taught me how to pray the rosary. So now I'm 62 years old. I take my grandchildren to church, and my granddaughter, she wants to learn it. She says, teach it to me. I've been showing it to her, and I teach her the prayers, and it's just, I can't let go of it. It's just something that is so special, and someday it'll eventually be hers. It's just, but you just mm-hmm. you can feel the warmth of Christ in it. It's really, you mm-hmm. put it in your hands and the calming that comes, and you know, it's just, and I pray the rosary 3-4 times a day. So
oh, nice.
I put some mileage on it, and it's my most precious gift.
Oh, that's a good one. I put some mileage on it. I love that. So Susan, I see in the comments, and you mentioned this, but that was actually your great grandmother's, right?
My great grandmother. She was born in 1896.
Wow. Wow. And she was born a Lutheran, you said. Okay. So now let me ask you this question. Can you give us her first name? I have the prayer book out. I want to put her in the prayer book.
Dorothy.
Okay. Beautiful. So do you, like, if you have more than one grandchild, who are you going to decide to give it to? I'm just saying. I mean, do you have a favorite?
No favorite on grandchildren.
Okay, that's right. I got to remember that. Go ahead.
What I did was I figured I'd give it to the firstborn, which she's now 8 years old, and it will eventually get to her. But I also, I make jewelry and stuff, so I have made rosaries for my other two grandchildren, for the boys. And when I went and saw the St. Jude relic, all of the rosaries were with me. So that not only was the one for my great grandmother, you know, blessed with St. Jude, but so were the other two, so that my boys will then have something special. And they're not quite old enough to get the grasp on. They can't say their Hail Mary completely, but we're working on it.
Yeah. But that was a smart move. Give it to the oldest. Yeah, that's what happened in my family. My sister, the oldest, got everything from my grandmother. Yeah, she got everything. But then I got everything from my mom. So there you go. So I know it's kind of interesting, but that's really cool. Okay, Susan, wow, great story. And I love how you thought to make rosaries for the other ones. That was brilliant. And then have them touched to relics. That was really smart. That's a really good idea, especially if we have more than one grandchild.
Exactly. Can't leave anybody out.
Yep. That's right. Oh, Susan, you're precious. Oh, well, safe driving. Do you have more to share?
Well, there was one other thing. Not my granddaughter will get the rosary, but I also have a couple of items from my great grandmother that they will get. So there's each one of them is going to have something that is special, but that rosary just kind of tops the list.
Yeah. It really stands out. Oh yeah, absolutely. Susan, safe traveling in Los Angeles. Take care. Check in with us again. And thank you so much for gracing this conversation today. Okay. We're going to go to Maureen, who's been waiting so patiently, in North Dakota, on our dear friends at Real Presence Radio. Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Hi. I had a couple comments first. I always look forward to your, first comment in the morning. I say, well, hello. And I do look forward to that every day.
Thank you. Thank you. My husband feels it's annoying, but you go ahead.
No. I look forward to it.
Oh, good.
I'd say, first of all, the most treasured gifts that I have are the 9 children that we have. But 2 of those are priests. And when you asked about the corporals and the, what they do with that, at the ordination, the bishop pours oil, chrism, over the hands of his newly anointed priest. Mm-hmm. And the priest then, at that point, then the new priest wipes his hands, and that corporal is at the next day when he has his first mass. The priest presents it to the mother. But the father receives the stole from their son's first confession. And so that's just kind of a little history lesson.
Right.
What happens with the corporals.
Okay, so now... Yes, now I have to ask you a ton of questions, because I do know of this, because my, like I said, my grandmother, you know, she had a son, a priest, and I've heard that. And so isn't it something that when the good Lord is ready to call you home, aren't you buried with that too?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yep, they put it in the coffin with the mother, and in the father's casket, they will put the stole.
Okay, so you're going to, so, wow, how lucky you are. You're going to get 2. You're going to, because you have 2 priests.
Yes, we're very blessed.
Oh, and so are they diocesan priests, or are they from an order? I mean, do they live near you, Maureen?
They are in the, in Bismarck. Yeah, they live not too far from each other, as a matter of fact. But one is, I think he's 15 years older than the younger one. So, mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, we have going up 27 grandchildren. So we're some of those people that are just very, very blessed.
Oh, 9 children, 27 grandchildren, 2 priests. I would say you got like a straight ticket to heaven here. That's a
long road.
It's a long road, right, right. And but I have to tell you, though, Maureen, as you started the conversation, you know, you were so kind. You said those kind words, and I was joking. You know, I just want to state for the record, my husband does not find me annoying. At least he doesn't tell me to my face. But I always like to make him, you know, kind of part of the episodes. But he says I should stop picking on him. But, you know, that's what husbands and wives do. We just have fun. But anyway, I want to just make that clear. He loves Take Two, and he thinks it's beautiful, too. But Maureen, when you started the conversation, you could hear it in your heart, the love and the gratitude you have. Is that what you brought to your 9 children? I mean, I want to know how you produced 2 priests. That's what I really want to know.
Let me choke up. I don't know. I think ever since I was a little tiny girl, when I'd run away from home, because I came from a big family, but I'd run down the street 2 blocks, and I'd go over and visit the priest. And so, as far as I can remember, I would say I've gone to daily mass ever since I was 5, for the most part. And so I've just always had a special spot in my heart for priests. And we also have a grandson that has now started the seminary. So
wow.
We're just...
Yeah, so there's 3 in your immediate family. This is amazing. Oh my goodness. So yeah, no, Maureen,
not about me playing any stress.
Yeah. Do you have any daughters in the religious life?
No. They're both married and have each have children. Mm-hmm. And we're just blessed life and a very, very dedicated husband. He's very much my right-hand man. We're coming up on our 50th wedding anniversary on Valentine's Day.
Oh, on Valentine's Day. Okay, Maureen, I entered your whole entire family to the prayer book. The grandson that's in seminary, correct? The 2 sons, the priest, yeah. Your whole family. I put Maureen. Can you give us your husband's first name?
Dan,
did you say Dan as in Daniel?
Daniel, yep.
Yes. Oh, I love that name. God is my judge. That's such a strong name. Maureen, I could talk to you forever, and I would love to pick your brain and figure out how you did it with every detail of your family and the birth order and everything, because I find it fascinating how some families will turn out many religious and priests and people that are dedicated to the church. I mean, it's incredible. Maureen, all I can tell you is right now, you said you were starting to get emotional. We're all getting emotional because we just absolutely love you. Alerts are coming into my computer very quickly. People are just saying, tell Maureen we love her. So everybody loves you from the Take Two family, okay?
And I pray every time you say a prayer for somebody. I'm one of the family that does. I do pray. I keep Jerry, especially, because love my seminarians. They're just...
Yeah.
So, anyway,
well, I'm gonna tell Jerry you do that. It's gonna put tears in his eyes because he gets very emotional, and so he loves that so very much. He appreciates the prayers. So Maureen, thank you so very, very much. Call us again. Check in with us, and maybe one time you can have one of your sons, the priest, they can call in as well. I'd love to hear their story. So thank you, Maureen. God bless you. Wow, what a great story. This is amazing. And we got some answers about the corporal, the purificator. This is incredible. Okay, so let me just share this with our listeners. We're going to get to Courtney in Houston, Texas next. So Courtney, hold on. I have to share this with our listeners because these highlights and programs are very important. EWTN Radio Extra is the past, present, and future of Catholic radio. You'll hear classic programs from Mother Angelica and Dr. Scott Hahn, timeless devotionals, and award-winning podcasts from our partners on EWTN's Podcast Central. Listen to EWTN Radio Extra on the EWTN app and on EWTN.com. Okay, we're getting more messages coming in for Maureen. Maureen, everybody wants to get to know you better. This is great. Courtney's up next in Houston, Texas, on our friends at Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Courtney. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on air.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad I got you on air. So yeah, tell us. I think you got a great story here.
Yes. It's a difficult story, but I hope that what people get out of it is just the beauty that's also in it and how much it has strengthened my family's faith. We've gone through something very difficult. But before I get into that, I'll share my husband and daughter and I. We were in Ireland at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there were some Catholic men walking around outside the church, and they were giving out miraculous medals, and they gave one to my daughter and I, and they spoke with us, and we shared how we're Catholic, and actually, funny thing, one of the men actually lived in the town that we live in for a time, it was just crazy, all of the connections. But he prayed over, I was pregnant at the time, and he prayed over our pregnancy. And I held on to those medals, you know, after we came home. And so fast forward several months, and I was 39 weeks pregnant and was going into labor. And we went to the hospital, and very tragically and unexpectedly, we found out that we had lost our baby. And it was very unexpected. I had a very normal pregnancy. But before I had, we had left to go to the hospital, not knowing that our daughter was not with us. I had given my 4-year-old daughter, Ava, the medal to hold on to, her medal. And I had mine, and I had it with me at the hospital. And I was, you know, going through a very traumatic labor, of course, knowing that our baby girl was not with us. And my OB couldn't be there, and I had a different doctor, and I don't know anything about her. I don't know what religious background, you know, she is of, and she was from another country, but I kept holding on, grasping on to my medal during this delivery, and I dropped it by my side at times, and that doctor kept picking it up and putting it back in my hands and just looking at me, and it just, it got me through, and it's something that I will never forget and I hold on to. And I actually have another item that's tied to this as well that has great meaning that I can share, but that's one of my items.
I'd love for you,
very dear,
but I'd love for you to share this, because why I called it a great story is to give meaning to so many things that are very difficult for us to go through, right? And to have a deeper spiritual understanding and know that God is with us through the most difficult times, the most painful times, the times that we, you know, are thinking, why is this happening? How could this be happening? And then we realize, you know, that, you know, God has a plan. We don't understand it all. God has a purpose for everything. And God also has this journey that's unfolding for everybody involved, the people that are going through all the painful, difficult circumstances and situations that you went through, Courtney, but also for your little one at home that was holding on to the medals, the doctor in the room that was picking up the rosary each time. Everything is for a purpose, is spiritual greater good, right? For people to advance. Yes. Yeah. That's where I was referring to, because, you know, we have to find the greatness in all the pain. Like it makes me think of, you know, it just makes me go back to Charlie Kirk, right? You know, it was such a tragic situation, but what was the greater thing? People are going back to church. People are revisiting the Catholic Church. People are going into their Bibles and reading their Bibles. I mean, so we have to find the greatness in the sadness. What do you say to that, Courtney?
Oh my gosh, you've said it all perfectly. I feel exactly that. And it's funny that you even mentioned with Charlie Kirk, because it has resonated with me so much. I know it's a different kind of tragedy, but a tragedy the same. And, you know, I think I've taken so many things away from this, and we're still receiving so many, I don't know, just signs and blessings and forms of strength to our faith through what we've gone through. And that's something I feel like I would like to, you know, share with others, is that sometimes tragedy strikes and we wonder why, like, why, God, why did you allow this to happen? But there's just, that's where our faith comes in, and it's just so much bigger than what we can grasp and understand. And like you said, there's so many people turning to the church. And I would also like to remind people too that, you know, even our God on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like that's our Lord who came into human form to take on the emotions that, you know, sometimes we may feel, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? But he, of course, has not. And
right.
there's right. beauty in everything. And I will say, I will go ahead and share if that's okay. The second sure. item that's very important to me because it's tied to this. So we lost our daughter December 22nd of 2024.
Oh, Courtney, and you gotta go quick. You hear the music. You have less than 10 seconds. Oh, can you do it real
okay.
fast?
Okay. We had a sign from the Blessed Mother on a lightning strike on a tree that literally imprinted an image of our, it looked like Our Lady of Guadalupe on the tree.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Courtney, I need you to email me, take2@EWTN.com. I want to interview you, Courtney, take2@EWTN.com. Phyllis, I'm so sorry from Michigan. We're not going to get to you, but we have an unscripted at the end of the month. Marsha, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we're going to get to you, hopefully on Unscripted. You'll call back. Marie, Glendale, Arizona, maybe you'll call back for Unscripted. We saw all the other messages coming in from Patricia and the others leaving messages. Fabulous stories. We'd love to hear from you. Patricia from Texas, I got your message here. Wow. Interesting stuff, you guys. You did a great job. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.